You got our little digital hardware here.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, should be working. And so, this is your copies of.
You can have those, but I can send them to you electronically also.
Uh-huh. So I can sort of keep this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great. Thank you very much.
I just sat down at the computer uh-huh. 5 minutes ago and uh-huh. looked to see what I could really easily just pull off. And, uh-huh. You know, that's some interesting stuff.
Yes.
Especially if you went through here and mm-hmm. you knew who these people mm-hmm. were.
Yes.
Which I could help you uh-huh. understand.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I talked with Miss Wiggins.
Did you? Mm-hmm. Good.
Mm-hmm. She's a very fair-minded person, I figure, from what I read. Okay. Well, then I will dig into this by contacting you. So I just wanted to know your story, how it started and how you were involved with this.
My name's Yanni Chapman, mm-hmm. and I got my PhD in history in 2006, and the focus area of my history is African American history, mm-hmm. and it is actually focused on the local African American history of the university, UNC Chapel Hill, and the town of Chapel Hill. Mm-hmm. And before that, for many years, I had been a community activist, and I was working with the NAACP, mm-hmm. and I'm the history chair person for the NAACP. And for years, I have been having breakfast every Saturday morning mm-hmm. with a group of people connected with the NAACP, mm-hmm. who are all members or officers. Mm-hmm. And it's been sort of a fellowship breakfast, but it's also been a political breakfast. And it's called the Hank Anderson Breakfast Club.
Mm-hmm. Where do you meet?
We usually, for years, we've met at Dip's Country Kitchen. Right now we're meeting at the Holiday Inn at a little restaurant called Time Out. Mm-hmm. The meeting places have changed, but the group has been going for close to 30 years now. So that's part of how mm-hmm. our core of people has bonded.
Mm-hmm. How many people come?
Oh, anywhere from 4 to 15. Mm-hmm. we've become the place that people who are candidates for office come to introduce themselves, because we actually endorse candidates. The NAACP is not allowed to endorse candidates. So we are the endorsing arm of the NAACP. And people come and bring their grievances, you know, work-related grievances or school-related grievances, anything that has to do with civil rights. So in any case, a number of years ago, I don't remember when all this unfolded, but what year is that?
2004.
So this was probably in 2003 sometime. Mm-hmm. We were sitting around at the Hank Anderson Breakfast Club, and one of our longtime members was named Bill Thorpe, mm-hmm. and he was on the town council, or he was getting ready to run for the town council, I forget which. And he brought up the idea, said, you know, I think it's time that we renamed a road in Chapel Hill for Dr. Martin Luther King. It's about time, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And so then we had a discussion about which road to rename, mm-hmm. And we actually thought that it would be very important for it to be a main highway. Mm-hmm. We didn't really want to try to change the name of Franklin Street because mm-hmm. that is the main street. Mm-hmm. But and it has some historical significance. But Airport Road is the main thoroughfare into Chapel Hill, and we thought this goes right through the middle of town. It's mm-hmm. very prominent. Mm-hmm. It's not like a lot of the other Martin Luther King boulevards mm-hmm. in other parts of the country that go through, you know, devastated communities and so forth. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to do this. Mm-hmm. And so that's how the campaign got started. It was Bill Thorpe's idea. And it sort of took root and shape in the Hank Anderson Breakfast Club. And we brought it to the NAACP, and the NAACP endorsed it. And then I forget the exact concrete steps we took, but it was proposed to the town council. And the town council was by and large supportive. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. However, there turned out to be tremendous opposition mm-hmm. in the town. And all these people started coming out of the woodwork mm-hmm. who said, no, everybody started off with whatever they said. They said, we love Martin Luther King. Mm-hmm. You know, we think it's important to honor Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King is my best friend. And then they'd go on to say things like, I don't think Martin Luther King would want a highway named after him. Why don't we name a school after him or a library after him? Or why do we need to name a highway after Martin Luther King? There's dozens and dozens of these all across the country. It's sort of a cliche. Mm-hmm. Why not name the highway after some local mm-hmm. civil rights mm-hmm. hero, Howard Lee, whoever. Mm-hmm. He was our first black mayor. And other people said, fine to rename a road, but not Airport Road. That would entail a lot of cost for my business. We have to change our publicity, our business cards, change our address. It would confuse people. We'd lose business. And it turned out that all this opposition was white and very vocal. So we had to, as a result, mobilize the black community and progressive white folks to come out and support us at the town council meeting, which we did pretty substantially. And we did it through our personal contacts, through the NAACP, through the black churches, the Interministerial Association, through emails, publicity in the newspapers. We didn't have a door-to-door campaign, but people got the word, and people showed up. So when we would have these discussions at the town hall meetings, the council meetings, the room would usually be packed. And that's unusual for a council meeting. Sometimes there's only, you know, a handful of people there. And the council, mm-hmm. in our opinion, mm-hmm. sort of backed away from this mm-hmm. as a result of the outcry mm-hmm. of opposition. Mm-hmm. And what Edith Wiggins and other people on the council eventually decided to do, mostly I think Mayor Foy and Edith Wiggins, was to establish a process, a longer process, that would be more open and transparent and participatory to work this thing out. And so there was a committee that was set up called the, it's in there, I think it was called the Committee to Consider Renaming Airport Road, something like that. And this took place after a number of very, very heated, fairly confrontational meetings at the town council, in which actually our president, Fred Battle, was speaking at one of them, and one of the white people in town, you know, pointed at him and said, "You're a racist." And Fred said, "You're a racist." And actually, there was a long history between these two people. And we also heard through back channels about discussions that were taking place that weren't public, where some people were expressing concerns about their property values going down, or the NAACP trying to take over and dictate things, or all kinds of things like that. So it was really obvious that there was a very vocal, organized group of white people who were opposing this, and that they were virtually all white. So it was obviously a racist thing, but everybody was saying it wasn't racist. It didn't have anything to do with race. So we, you know, we probably could have forced the issue, but we decided we would go along with the process that the mayor and the council had set up. And I became one of the members of the committee to consider renaming Airport Road. And they hired a professional consultant and set up these like a weekend of meetings, or maybe several, I can't remember, and went through this whole process of writing things down on the blackboard and so on and so forth. And the outcome of the process was pretty well foreseeable, because we had the numbers, we had the power to get this thing passed, I think. And the council basically supported it, but didn't want to alienate certain people in the community. And the opposition included groups like the Chamber of Commerce and some of the leading business people, and some of the key people are in that document that I gave you. Jim Hevner, one of the leading businessmen, opposed it. But it was clear that the Chamber of Commerce opposed it, which is historically very significant, because it was the Chamber of Commerce back in the 1960s that opposed the Civil Rights Public Accommodations Ordinance. Said businessmen ought to have the right to discriminate. So this was sort of a traditional role for them to play. And so we went through this process, and actually what was agreed upon was somewhat of a compromise. If you notice the sign, it says Little Tiny Historic Airport Road on the bottom. And frankly, we didn't have to accept that compromise. We could have rolled over the opposition, I think. But and some people in the NAACP thought we should have. But it really wasn't that significant. And for one thing, it does let you know something which a lot of times people don't know, which mm-hmm. was that there was, if you read between the lines, mm-hmm. you can tell that there was a controversy about this. Mm-hmm.
Which is very important to sort of leave as it is.
Right.
Like in a way.
Speak up a little bit,
oh,
I think.
Oh, sorry.
it's very important.
It's
why?
It's important to leave it, the fact that there was a dispute
yes.
in this matter, rather than just eliminate everything.
Right, that's yeah. the way so many mm-hmm. things are done is too.
Right.
There is a big dispute,
mm-hmm.
and then there's a decision made, and everybody goes on as if
mm-hmm.
there had never been any struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is part of the way in which the whole history of mm-hmm. the Black freedom struggle gets suppressed.
That's right.
And the also the institutional racism
mm-hmm.
that exists
mm-hmm.
gets hidden from mm-hmm. history.
Mm-hmm. I have to agree with you.
Yes. So, and my role in all this, I was one of the outspoken people.
Mm-hmm.
And as a historian, I was able to shed some light on the history of Airport Road, and the opposition was saying that it was historic and all this, and you know, I knew the history of African Americans in Chapel Hill, and this was something. There's a woman in this document
mm-hmm.
named Dip Council,
mm-hmm.
Mama Dip.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she spoke at. And her words are summarized in there. She said, you know, this has more meaning to me than it does for
mm-hmm.
some,
mm-hmm.
because I was there when Airport Road was built.
Mm-hmm.
And the men who, you know,
mm-hmm.
plowed up the ground and laid the road and dug the holes for
mm-hmm.
the street lights
mm-hmm.
were all Black men. And, you know, so this is part of our heritage.
Mm-hmm.
And that aspect of the history of Chapel Hill is not something that's been acknowledged
mm-hmm.
or celebrated. Another thing was that Fred Battle
mm-hmm.
Said when he presented, I think, the petition or the request to the town council, was that Chapel Hill does not have any monuments or memorials to African Americans
mm-hmm.
in the white part of town.
Mm-hmm.
Chapel Hill schools have named some schools after Black leaders,
mm-hmm.
but Chapel Hill has not done anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very important to us
mm-hmm.
that this Airport Road be renamed
mm-hmm.
because it runs right down the middle of White Chapel Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And this was where that person in the audience
mm-hmm.
called him a racist. Just because he was talking about the real history of race.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was very important to Black people.
Mm-hmm.
And what very many of the white people who were in opposition just totally didn't get
mm-hmm.
was that, and this was true of people who were actually very progressive and liberal as
mm-hmm.
well as conservative.
Mm-hmm.
It was, the opposition did not come only from, you know, right-wing reactionaries or segregationists or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
There were those people were in there, but some of these very liberal white people thought that they knew better
mm-hmm.
what was good for the community,
mm-hmm.
what was good for African Americans, what Martin Luther King would have wanted, than the NAACP and the black community. Mm-hmm. So it was a typical thing of sort of white paternalism, mm-hmm. Not recognizing or acknowledging the leadership mm-hmm. of black people. Okay, so, you know, here's something that the black community has decided mm-hmm. on through the NAACP, which some people refuse to acknowledge actually represented the black community. Mm-hmm. And this is what black people want. Mm-hmm. So why are you making all these other suggestions, you know? It's just something that liberals in Chapel Hill have not learned yet, which is to respect and honor the opinions and needs and desires of African Americans. And this is one of the things that facilitates ongoing institutional racism.
So who are among those sort of core people who meet every Saturday? Of course, you and then Bill Thorpe?
Bill Thorpe, who's dead now.
Oh, really?
Yes. You missed him.
I'm sorry.
Now, his wife is alive, mm-hmm. and she's very sharp. She might be able to give you a lot of information. Mm-hmm. And, of course, those of us in the Breakfast Club, we all knew Bill well. Mm-hmm. And people like Fred Battle mm-hmm. would be a key person to talk to, mm-hmm. or Nate Davis, mm-hmm. Al McShirley. All of those people were core people in this struggle. Michelle Laws, mm-hmm. who's president of the NAACP now. They could give you insight into Bill's thinking. Mm-hmm. Bill had a history mm-hmm. of doing this kind of thing in Chapel Hill. He was the person back in maybe it was 1983, mm-hmm. but it was pretty far back. Mm-hmm. He was also on the council at that time. Mm-hmm. And he proposed that the town of Chapel Hill mm-hmm. make Martin Luther King's birthday an official holiday, mm-hmm. a paid holiday for town workers. And this was before mm-hmm. the national birthday. And it was, I believe, the first community in the South mm-hmm. to have an official Martin Luther King holiday with paid leave for workers. And so he got that passed on the council, and of course, all of us were involved in that as well. And he also led in the effort to get the town council to boycott goods from South Africa mm-hmm. during the anti-apartheid struggle of the 1980s.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
So he was someone who initiated these kinds of things. And so he played a key role.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He was a part of the NAACP organization?
Yeah, he was our political chair of our political action committee.
How old he was when this renaming airport board was proposed?
I'm not good with his age. I'm not sure. You know, he's about my age, or maybe he would have been a little bit older if, you know. Civil rights generation, he's probably be in his 60s now, I guess. I've got the information at home. I just can't recall. I never paid too much attention to his age. But he was definitely a mature, you know, person.
So he was born in Chapel Hill? Or?
No, I don't believe he grew up in Chapel Hill. I think he grew up in a town called Oxford, which is north of Chapel Hill and has a a big civil rights history of its own.
Right.
And he had a lot of connections politically mm-hmm. and involvements outside of Chapel Hill, too, with black colleges, mm-hmm. with the black state leadership of the legislature. He often was a campaign manager for different people who ran for office, black judges, so forth. So he was an active force on the state scene as well as in Chapel Hill. But he was very active in the local NAACP.
So you think his wife may be available?
Yeah, I think you should go through Fred Battle or Nate Davis.
Well, I was trying to contact with Fred Battle, but it's in vain. There's no way to get through to him because telephone is not accepted and email is sort of sent back, returned without any.
See, again, it's like with Sally Green on the town council. You have to know who to go through. So go through me, and I'll get you in touch with him.
Oh, great.
Because he'll answer the phone for me.
Uh-huh.
and he'll see a name, Chaim Noguchi. Is a, I don't know this person.
Right.
You know. And
Of course, I understand that, you know, he doesn't want to take any telephone call or so or email.
Well, he's struggling with an illness, and he's pulling back from a lot of his leadership work politically, and so he's very careful about how he uses his time. Nate Davis, do you know who that is?
No, I don't.
Nate Davis is also a key person. Fred Battle used to be the director of Hargraves Recreation Center. You know what that is?
Mm-hmm.
Nate Davis was his assistant and is now the director. And Nate, I can also put you in touch with. He's also the kind of person that if he doesn't know who you are, he's overwhelmed with phone calls every day, and he will probably just let it pass. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know why it's important.
Mm-hmm.
So, depending on what your schedule is, mm-hmm. I can hook you up with him,
mm-hmm.
and he also knows Bill's wife. Now, whether she would want to do this or not, I don't know.
Of course. I don't want to force anyone to do it.
Right. But I think it would be worth trying to talk with her.
Mm-hmm.
She would shed some light on things that perhaps might be different from anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
She might know more about how this idea developed in Bill's mind.
Right.
Fred Battle might, too. I just heard it at the Breakfast Club. You know, he announced it. He may have been talking about it with other people because, you know, Fred was one of his closest friends.
Mm-hmm.
I was a friend, but knew him mostly from political work. Al McShirley is another person you could try to talk with, although he's out of town this week.
Oh.
Do you know who Al is?
No, I don't.
Al McShirley, A-L. Mm-hmm. M-C-S-U-R-E-L-Y.
E-S-U-R-E-L-Y.
He's a white guy about 10 years older than me,
mm-hmm.
who was active in the civil rights movement in the 60s and was actually organizing in Appalachia, poor whites. One of Martin Luther King's assistants called him and said, "We want you to mobilize these folks for the March on Washington." Or for the Poor People's Campaign, I think it was. No, March on Washington. Yeah. And, you know, he had his house blown up in Kentucky by the state attorney general, and he won a lawsuit against him after 15 years. He's a civil rights lawyer. He's won a million cases against the university and the town. He's on the state executive committee of the NAACP. He's one of my closest friends, and he was very close to Bill.
So, well, my schedule, I'll be... I'm trying to open my schedule this week, and let's see. So during daytime, I'll be free, and before I leave, let's say so through 9th, so about 1 week, I can go anywhere. But evenings, yes, I mean. I have some appointments, but otherwise.
When are you leaving?
I'll be leaving 11th, and then on the 10th, I just have to return my car to my friend and just to have the.
So you're basically around until the 10th.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, before that, you're free during the days, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can. I can make a few calls right now if you want, and see if we can set up appointments for Fred Battle and Nate Davis. I don't guarantee that I'll get in touch with them right away, but
of course.
Let me make sure I get your name right, Dr. Hayumi.
Hayumi Higuchi.
Higuchi. Higuchi. These guys are local African American guys. And I what?
Right.
And. Tell me again what it is that you're doing. I know you're doing research, but what are the end products that you're trying to achieve?
I'm going to write an article for this. Is I was actually right before coming here, I was asked to write something on Obama's administration, and I said I'm not interested in about Obama's administration itself. I was rather interested in this renaming Airport Road, you know, to understand what the race relations is going on at this time in 19th.
So your focus is trying to look at Airport Road struggle, mm-hmm. renaming mm-hmm. struggle,
mm-hmm.
for what it can tell you about race relations.
Race relations. And it is very, I mean, as I read the newspapers, Chapel Hill newspapars and Tar Heels, and it really sound interesting because it just not, you know, one way, what shall I say, just simple matter. It's so complicated, you know, as you just said, of course, conservatives against oppose this, but also the liberal
some,
but they may say, you know, they should come up with other names than MLK. You know, their local civil rights activists should be acknowledged, and you know there are many other opinions, I'm sure, and so it's not just black or white. It's not just, you know, civil rights or not. It's more complicated, and it's you know, very important for us, the historian, to understand how this race relations is not I mean, for example, cost. People would say, well, since Obama became the president of the United States,
post-racial society.
So I don't, you know, I have to tell them that it is not that simple.
it's not that at all.
Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to delve with this current situation.
This would be a good example because Capitol Hill has the reputation of being mm-hmm. the most progressive, liberal mm-hmm. town mm-hmm. in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And probably a lot of people here think of it as a post-racial mm-hmm. society.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, it is not even close.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the jobs that we mm-hmm. have with the NAACP is mm-hmm. to try to basically help white people understand this,
mm-hmm.
but mainly to organize mm-hmm. the black community mm-hmm. to voice its own needs and its mm-hmm. demands, and you know, because one of the things that allows people to live in this world of denial
mm-hmm.
is the suppression of the voices of people of color
mm-hmm.
and women,
mm-hmm.
you know, well, everything's okay,
mm-hmm.
you know, because people aren't burning down buildings or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons why we made sure that this quote that we included in the recent commemoration
mm-hmm.
Was this Martin Luther King quote that makes clear
mm-hmm.
the relationship between a negative peace
mm-hmm.
and real peace, which mm-hmm. has to involve the presence of justice.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because so many people confuse the negative peace
mm-hmm.
for everything's okay.
Mm-hmm. So what is this...
This is our most recent endeavor at renaming and commemorating.
Is this the one you just told me on the phone?
Yes.
Oh.
And you can't really, this is an artist mock-up of the granite paving
mm-hmm.
stone that's going to be placed.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really see what it looks like very well, but I think that this could be the first community in the nation
mm-hmm.
to have an ongoing program of honoring its peace and justice
mm-hmm.
Leaders,
because
mm-hmm. this can be added to. These
mm-hmm.
papers will be added to.
Where can I find it?
That?
Mm-hmm.
I can send it to you online. You might be able to get it. The town information officer's name is Catherine Lazorco.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Catherine Lazorco, L-A-Z-O-R.
L-A-Z-O-O-O-R-K-O. K-O.
Yeah.
Huh.
She's a real good person,
uh-huh.
and she may have copies of this.
Uh-huh.
She may have copies of the original flyer, because they did the printing.
Oh.
My guess is that they could... See, if you can get particularly a little help from Sally Green...
Mm-hmm.
to push and promote your work.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, I think the town should be very interested in your work.
Mm.
It's going to put Chapel Hill on the map.
Right.
But Catherine is someone I worked with closely,
mm-hmm.
and if you...
you just go to the town
hall? Yeah, I think she's right at town hall.
Okay.
But one of the things I was going to encourage you to do
mm-hmm.
is to put the renaming of Airport Road into more of a historical context
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because this is part of a series of
mm-hmm.
struggles and activities
mm-hmm.
where myself and others have tried to promote honest history
mm-hmm.
And commemoration
mm-hmm.
And it makes a lot more sense mm-hmm. within that context. This is mm-hmm. a whole movement that's, mm-hmm. you know, this is the most recent mm-hmm. Evolution of the movement. Mm-hmm. But in February we had, when, I don't know if you've seen it, the first highway marker in the nation mm-hmm. to honor the 1947 Freedom Rides. It's right up on the corner of Columbia and Rosemary.
Oh, really?
State highway marker. And we had a big weekend-long program, weekend mm-hmm. program. Mm-hmm. And in both of these situations, the NAACP mm-hmm. was a sponsor with the town of Chapel Hill. Mm-hmm. So it's very significant, you know. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, you have the town mm-hmm. cooperating and trying to do the right mm-hmm. thing in
Which
terms
is very
of...
unusual.
It is unusual, and certainly Sally Green and others are mm-hmm. to be applauded for this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, when it comes to the more nitty-gritty real-life issues of institutional racism mm-hmm. in employment, in the schools, mm-hmm. with the police department and so forth, then the town is much more reluctant to mm-hmm. act. Mm-hmm. So we work cooperatively and mm-hmm. we criticize. Mm-hmm. You know, but this is all a part of a process. From my point of view, this is an organized campaign that probably dates from 1996 or so mm-hmm. to change the institutional culture mm-hmm. at the mm-hmm. university and in the town and in the public schools mm-hmm. to basically move it away from the white norms mm-hmm. of Jim Crow that are invisible to most white people mm-hmm. and to move it more towards justice mm-hmm. and an active support for justice, not a passive mm-hmm. We don't discriminate kind of thing mm-hmm. but an active trying to root out mm-hmm. institutional racism. And it seems as though there's always been struggle on the economic front with jobs and so forth. On the political front, the struggle on the cultural front is what is unfolding a lot now. And to me, this renaming of Martin Luther King Boulevard mm-hmm. is best understood in that context of an ongoing struggle. It's sort of part of it is a good example mm-hmm. that will reveal mm-hmm. something about race relations, mm-hmm. but I think it would do that even more mm-hmm. than the broader mm-hmm. historical context.
Well, this is my interpretation of the civil rights movement. But people tend to think that the civil rights movement ended, say, in 1968 when MLK was assassinated. And I don't think so.
Right.
You know, there was things going on last year, and then the year before I visited Mississippi. Jackson and Greenville and other cities, and I found out that there are still people are trying to make the lives better in terms of economically and then residential, housing sort of facilities and so on, and still, you know, the movement is going on.
Absolutely.
Right, and I just had to, you know, put everything in a broader perspective. And someone would say that, many people say that civil rights movement started in 1955 or 54, but I knew, I did some research on 1920s and 30s in the northern part of this country, and there was already the civil rights movement going on. Before that, you know, this is a long history of the civil rights movement, and probably because of the TV, people paid more attention to the 1954 or 55 sort of activities, but things have been already there. Of course, NWSCP is one of the main, you know, organization which really pushed things through. And in fact, I translated, if you probably you know, the Ann Moody's book. Translated that book into Japanese.
Wow.
It's published. And that is really telling me the reality of the civil rights movement. You know, there's no MLK in Mississippi, but there are so many people really did, sacrificed their lives and their sort of daily, you know, work and just so many things. And I mean, I can see my students who read that book, I mean, my translation, sort of, for them, it's eye-opening experience because they understand that civil rights movement is not a one-man movement. You know, there are so many people involved. So that's the kind of my interpretation of the civil rights movement. And here's
right on target.
Chapel Hill. You know, there's a small incident, you know, in comparison with other, say for example, March in Washington or Selma or Birmingham, or but still, you know, it's a little effort as in the surface of the whole thing and the whole sort of fabrics that I just want to describe or depict in my article.
And this will be published where?
It will be published in Japanese and then Japanese art. Let's say it's the monthly journal
of the African American Studies Association.
This is for Japanese Association for Historical Studies, which is like AHA in the United States,
uh-huh.
Sort of covering the whole.
Yeah, the American Historical Association.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
so this will be widely read by academics.
Not just academics, but also among the high school teachers.
Ah.
This is one of the probably the largest organization in Japan in terms of history. So they have, you know, certain amount of, they have to have, put everything in certain amount of manuscripts. I mean, they don't allow long articles, and but so I have to really precise and very well constructing this, I have to construct this paper very well and precisely, and then, you know, point it to the real issue. But anyway, at the beginning when they asked me to write on the Obama's administration, I just told them that I'm not interested in that Obama's administration itself. I would rather interested in this. So that is why I would like to decline the offer. But they said, well, your topic seems more interesting. So they asked me to write it. So I go, okay, now I cannot, you know, turn it down because I started the theme of the whole thing. So I have to finish writing maybe sometime in January. So I'm kind of this summer, a week from now, is the only sort of time that I can collect information. And then once I get back to Japan, I just have to sort things out and then start writing and be ready for their deadline. But I've been working the last 2 years, off and on.
On this? Well, you know, when I heard, how did you hear about me?
From Sally Green.
Huh. Uh-huh. And you heard about her from the newspapers, or?
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right. And so from the newspaper, I had that Miss Wiggins and then Sally Field, and then other, let's see.
Sally Green, not Sally Field.
Oh, I'm sorry. And they responded to me last year. Yeah, I think it was last year. And then the Sally told me about you. So I actually wanted to interview last March, but since I had a student with me and it was so hectic and I couldn't hold on
right.
to the time. So now here I am. trying to get as much information as possible this week.
Do you also have a group of students that you work with on this?
Not this time.
Do you teach this in a course?
Yes, I teach race relations in my lecture course. I tend to sort of introduce what I found on my research for the students to, you know, to understand the current relations as well as, you know, relationships in the past.
And my understanding from the internet is that you're the chairperson or the head of the African American Studies Association, something like that?
Right now, I've been involved with three organizations, and one we are through with it. That was we at the Central University, my university, had to host the Japanese Association for Western History. We had about more than 700 participants, and we had to work on this program and also with the logistics. So it was a really piles of work we had to deal with. Well, but that was done in June, so it's over. And I am on the executive board of the Japanese Association for American History, but that will be my term will be over next September, and I have another obligation, which is Japanese Association for American Studies, and I am on the executive board or executive council, whatever they say, as well as a award let's say Shimizu Hiroshi, this is book award committee. I'm the chair on that committee, so that will keep me busy in January, February into April. We have to come up with the recipients. So that's these things is really taking up my time,
I understand. When you're an academic, it's so hard to find the time to do your research and writing.
Right. So, but I'll be through with these obligations shortly, and so I can,
I find it when I first heard from you. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought, boy, this is pretty cool. Somebody on the other side of the world is writing about this renaming of Airport Road for Dr. Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel like what you do in your local community can have a much bigger impact. So, frankly, I think that if your work was better known among my NAACP friends and the council and various others, there would be a lot of interest. Not quite sure what I'm trying to say, but I think it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll be honored.
Now, will you be here this Saturday?
Yes. Saturday, okay, probably not. I mean, I have an appointment with two of my friends in the evening, but the whole day from morning to late afternoon, I'm free. I can go anywhere.
Why don't you come to the NAACP meeting?
Can I?
Yes. It's our monthly meeting.
Great.
And I will introduce you. I'm the, like I said, the chair of the history committee. Mm-hmm. I'll introduce you, and I think we won't have very much time for you to present what you're doing. A couple of minutes, maybe. Because our agenda is already set and all of that. But I think if you could just introduce yourself and tell folks what you're doing. And first of all, you might make some contacts with various people. And secondly, who you could stay in touch with by internet. And secondly, I think we'd be honored to have you. And I think it would be a broadening experience for the NAACP locally to realize the impact of something that we did that's gone so far abroad. I mean, frankly, I don't think most people have any idea that anybody in Japan studies African American history or knows anything about.
Well, I was a graduate student here in history department at UNC, 1976 into 1981 or something like that, and also I taught Japanese language here when the Japanese program was at the very beginning. So I started out the program.
Right.
And I was here teaching about 10 years, and then
10 years.
I lived in Chapel Hill 1976 into 1990.
Wow.
And I got a job in Japan, so that brought me back to Japan. And since then, I've been teaching American history, race relations in the United States in terms of history. And I did my research on African American community. Well, mostly at those times, I was focusing on Urban League.
On what?
Urban League.
Urban League.
Urban League. In terms of organization, but African American communities in Chicago and Detroit, how they sort of negotiated with the white management people on the equal basis to open up the occupational lines, you know, in 1920 into 1930s.
Uh-huh.
And they started the campaign like Don't Buy the things that where the, you cannot be hired and things like that, you know, late 1920s into 1930s in Chicago and another area already that took place. And through that sort of research, I wanted to sort of present how the positive black identity was formed, not in literary groups or cosmopolitan intellectuals, but working people.
And good.
That's what I wanted to present, and so that was my dissertation and my first book. So
these things haven't been translated into English, have they?
Well, no. Oh, and then there's a one very small piece I have in English, which is on Billiken Club. In
on Chicago. What?
Billiken Club. That's children's club. Actually, it was formed through the Chicago Defender, the black newspaper.
The black newspaper, mm-hmm, right.
Mm-hmm. And again, there they try to form the very positive identity and also the very positive kind of American citizens identity among African Americans, which is actually based on race identity.
As opposed to being colorblind.
That's right, that's right.
You sound like a radical to me.
I'm just a historian.
Yeah, right.
I'm just a historian.
Me too. So what's your schedule for today?
Today, I don't have any particular things in on my schedule.
Well, let me call Fred Battle and Nate Davis right now. Mm-hmm. If Nate Davis is at work, it might be that we could go by and visit. Mm-hmm. I don't know. He's often very busy. Mm-hmm. But have you been to Hargrave Center?
No.
Yeah, I think it would be very good for you to see Hargrave Center.
Mm-hmm.
And to meet Nate. I think that Michelle Cotton Laws is a very important person for you to speak with.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle Laws.
Michelle
Laws. She grew up in Chapel Hill,
mm-hmm,
lived in public housing.
Oh.
And she, but she's working on her PhD now, mm-hmm, and she's teaches at, I think, North Carolina Central.
Mm-hmm.
She's getting her PhD at UNCG.
Mm-hmm.
She's a very powerful speaker. She has a statewide and somewhat of a national presence. And she was very involved in this Martin Luther King struggle. And she will tell you,
mm-hmm,
that there was conflict within the black community about this as well. She and Edith Wiggins had a big confrontation at a town council meeting, for instance. I mean, we all just about walked out because we felt like Edith was betraying the cause or something. But she would have a very good viewpoint on this,
mm-hmm,
on this whole issue,
mm-hmm,
and she would also probably have some very interesting things to say about race relations.
Mm-hmm.
And she also is hard to get in touch with, and I can send her an email.
Mm-hmm.
And tell her that you'd be trying to get in touch with her. She's really busy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But you might be able to set up a telephone appointment,
mm-hmm,
or you might be able to see her or talk with her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Saturday, what's the date of Saturday? Is that the 8th or something, 7th?
Let's say the Saturday, 5th.
Oh, the 5th. So mm-hmm. you'll be here for a number of days after that.
Well, that's right. 1 to 3 days at least I'll be, I mean, including Sunday. I don't know what may happen.
Yeah, so that would mean that even if you, even if we weren't able to set you up before Saturday, mm-hmm. If you come to the NAACP meeting, mm-hmm. all these people will be there, mm-hmm. I believe. And, you know, you could set up uh-huh. a time to uh-huh. talk with them.
Great. I do appreciate this very much.
I consider it an honor and also part of our movement building.
Mm-hmm.
That's my focus, building the movement. I use history to do that. And I can probably overwhelm you with some documents.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that the town has mm-hmm. is a video documentary of the unveiling of the Martin Luther King Boulevard street sign. There was a big celebration with mm-hmm. speeches and all that, mm-hmm. and there's a documentary that television
it's
did.
And
I would think that Sally would have access
mm-hmm.
to that.
Mm-hmm.
There's also videos mm-hmm. of these town hall meetings. They videotape all their meetings, and
yeah.
those are archived.
Really? That is very well done.
And I may have copies of some of those videos.
Mm-hmm.
And if I do, I can either give them to you or make copies. I'm not sure that I'll ever do anything with them, but it might be good for me to keep a copy. My own personal interest is very much to have you really be able to grapple with some of the underlying race relations issues that this helps bring to light. And I can do a little thinking about that and maybe send you a few notes. If you don't mind, I'll send you a copy of my dissertation and my thesis. My thesis is on the Chapel Hill Civil Rights Movement. And my dissertation is called Black Freedom in the University of North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
1793 to 1960.
Mm-hmm.
And that will give you some sense of this long civil rights
mm-hmm.
movement.
Mm-hmm.
You're familiar with Jacqueline Hall
mm-hmm.
and her work.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that the long civil rights movement
mm-hmm.
is
mm-hmm.
a very hot topic in the U.S. among historians. I actually think it's not quite appropriately named.
Mm.
Did I ever tell you this?
No, I don't think
because it's really a long black freedom struggle. It's
mm.
not really all about civil rights.
Oh,
it's about it's about, you know, job discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yes.
about things that are not covered under
mm-hmm.
what people normally think of as
mm.
civil rights, unless
mm-hmm.
you have a broad
mm.
definition of civil rights. And I think black freedom actually
mm-hmm.
covers it better than
mm-hmm.
civil rights.
Because
certainly what we're struggling for today is not civil rights
mm-hmm.
so much as it is
mm-hmm.
Challenging the institutional racism
mm-hmm.
That's the legacy of Jim Crow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's not openly segregationist, it's
mm-hmm.
colorblind racism.
Right. Particularly after 1980s.
Yes. So, shall I call?
Okay.
And have you have tried to contact Fred Battle and left messages and things?
Mm-hmm. I did everything I could. I even wrote a letter from Japan.
Mr. Battle, this is Yanni. I'm sitting here with a very fine woman from Japan who has been trying to get in touch with you, and you have ignored her requests. Her name is Dr. Hayumi Haguchi, and she is writing a paper for a very prestigious Japanese journal on the struggle to rename Airport Road for Dr. Martin Luther King, and she would like to speak with you. I imagine you just ignored her contact because you never heard of this person, but I think she's important to our NAACP struggle, and I've invited her to come to the meeting on Saturday, but I was hoping that she might be able to meet with her before that and give her your perspective on the whole Martin Luther King Boulevard struggle and your role, Bill Thorpe's role, role of the NAACP, and how that reflects on race and power relations in Chapel Hill today. So give me a call back, and you know, I hope that we can set this up, and I hope you're doing well, and I talk to you soon. Bye.
She's not in?
Probably not there. he may call me back shortly, or he may wait until later. He'll call me back for sure. I'll write down your phone number.
Okay.
And I can send him your email.
Okay.
I hope this works out. So let's call Nate now.
All right.
Hey Nate, this is Yanni. Can you give me a call back as soon as you can? I'm with someone who I'd like you to meet, and we were thinking about coming by, swinging by Hargraves to just say hi. I may bring her by in any case. She's a scholar from Japan who is visiting, doing research on this struggle to change the name of Airport Road to Martin Luther King Boulevard, and she's doing research and she's getting ready to write an article, and I've invited her to the NAACP meeting. But I want her to see Hargraves and see the murals and just sort of get a feel for the place and to meet you. I may try calling you at work now, but give me a call back. Thanks. Bye. I thought I had Nate's work number, but I don't. Mm-hmm. So I washed my old cell phone in my sweatpants the other day. So I lost all my phone numbers, and I've only started to get them back.
Well, I mean, you've been very helpful. Thank you very much.
I'll do what I can. I think this is great. It's very nice to meet you also.
Well, nice to meet you too.
I wish my daughter could meet you, but I don't think that'll happen. Because she's working full time.
Oh.
She's the one who studied in Okinawa for a year. She actually might be able to read your translation of Ann Moody. I'm not sure if her Japanese is that good. I think she might be able to.
We have 1 year is a little bit too short.
Well, no, she's studied Japanese, she studied also. Japanese? Also, she's sort of a whiz at picking up languages.
Oh.
I know 1 year isn't very much, but.
I see. So she's now around, or she?
Yeah, she lives in Durham, and she's working. She just got her master's in library science, and so she is working on their digital initiatives over at North Carolina State. She does computer stuff.
I see. Wow, but she's enjoying the job?
She loves it.
So good.
Not the kind of thing I would enjoy, but...
heard about the computer and digitalizing, I thought that she maybe got bored, but...
No, she's loving it. She's on the cutting edge of what's going on with libraries in the U.S. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's happening in Japan. Mm-hmm. Are you all digitized much?
Trying to, right?
Yeah, that's what we're doing, too. Mm-hmm.
So she's sort of taking a leadership of digitalizing the historical sources which was held at the Central, North Carolina Central University.
Yeah, I think it's great. I find it interesting talking with her about it. It's all based on trying to develop these computer languages that can work with all the varieties of different programs that are out there. And the whole field is changing so fast that
she has to read so many stuff to just catch up with those information. New
actually, she's helping to develop the newest stuff.
Oh.
So, she's on the cutting edge. I'm very proud of her.